For West Southwest on WMUK, I'm Earlene McMichael. Coming up, I interview Sherry Brockway, Director of Training and Community Impact at the YWCA of Kalamazoo. April is Sexual Assault Awareness Month. Brockway says Michigan has some of the strictest laws regarding consent, and violators will be prosecuted. Welcome to WMUK.
Thank you. It's very nice to be here.
Ms. Brockway, tell us what your title is and what you do at the YWCA.
Currently, I am the Program Manager of Shelter and Housing, and I work specifically in our domestic violence and sexual assault program. And one of my responsibilities is educating the public, human service organizations, on domestic violence and sexual assault. So I do trainings, I advocate in the community, I can provide court support, just anything that a sexual assault victim might need.
I believe I saw somewhere that you're also co-chairperson of a group called Voices Against Sexual Assault. Is that correct?
That is correct.
What is that group?
Well, Kalamazoo is very proactive in its management of its sex offenders. And through the Michigan Prisoner Reentry, there was a group formed called Voices Against Sexual Assault, and our whole goal was no more victims. So, for example, we had a billboard, we did community presentations, we worked with the Michigan Human Traffic Organization, and our whole goal was to get information out about sexual assault prevention.
You also have a new title coming up, hopefully within days, and that is
Director of Training and Community Impact. And so my goal once again will be to educate different agencies working with sexual assault victims, the general community, but also developing an emergency response to respond to victims in a timely manner to reduce the trauma from sexual assault.
So you were talking about having an emergency response. What do you mean by that? Is there not that now?
Well, we do have an emergency response, but the one that we really want to develop in Kalamazoo responds specifically to the victim's needs as well as the friends and family needs. So you would have somebody responding to the individual's trauma immediately after them making contact with either the police, the hospitals, or the YWCA of Kalamazoo.
This interview deals with Sexual Assault Awareness Month, which is coming up in April. Why does that continue to be something that we need to have a month to create awareness about? Do you think the word is not getting out?
Well, I think it's important that we have a month dedicated to this because even though information is out there, we need to reach more individuals. I mean, statistically speaking, only 12% of all victims even report sexual assault. So our goal in Sexual Assault Awareness Month is to educate the community. It is to promote the strengths of survivors, but also to hold perpetrators of sexual violence accountable. And so we want to bring the community together to promote healing, strengths, but most important, to keep educating individuals on the effects of sexual assault and to get victims the resources they need.
So it seems like the focus is on the victims, helping them to heal.
Correct.
And that's mostly because so many of them don't come forward. Why is that?
Well, there's a lot of different reasons victims don't come forward. It could be they're not aware of the services available. And that's one thing. Like, for example, the YWCA has a sexual assault nurse examiner program where we do all the forensic evidence collection and address the medical needs that a sexual assault victim might have. And there's only 26 of those in the state of Michigan, and only 13 that operate as we do in Kalamazoo. So not being aware of the services is a huge reason. Second, they fear, embarrassment, shame, guilt are many reasons victims of sexual assault don't come forward. But also, I think most important is the fear that they won't be believed.
What does this nurse do? Does this nurse handle the rape kits? Is that what this
nurse does?
So is a nurse on call 24 hours a day at the Y?
Yes. Yep. We have nurses available 24 hours a day, 7 days a week, 365 days a year to meet the needs of survivors coming forward. And Earlene, one of the most important things I want people to know is we can do the exams up to 5 days after an assault, which is a huge resource because victims might be in shock, disbelief. So when they come around to seeking the services, up to 5 days we can do that. We're able to give all the prophylactics, antibiotics for any type of sexually transmitted infection. So even though the goal is forensics, the way I speak about it, the medical needs are the number one most important goal that we meet when working with clients.
Is that service free when people come?
Yes, that is 100% free and confidential. And that's one of the reasons we're lucky to have that in Kalamazoo. Some victims must drive hours to get that service, but we have it right here in Kalamazoo.
So that we're understanding what you're talking about, when you say that sexual assault survivors can come and get service with you know, as late as, say, 5 days, can you be a little more specific about that? Are you saying that evidence medically is still within the body?
Yes, evidence can stay in there 5 days. You know, however, they don't recommend that you shower. It doesn't matter if you've showered, anything like that. They still have the capability, because of their training, to get evidence up to 120 hours.
In each community, where you go to get these services might vary. But if they're here in the Kalamazoo area, and let's say they're hearing our voice today, and they have been sexually assaulted, what's the first thing they should do?
Well, the first thing they should do is come to the YWCA immediately. So,
don't call the police. Go to the Y.
Yep, and we can facilitate them calling the police. Really, there's no wrong door approach. If they call the police, they will bring them right to the YWCA. If they go to the hospital, they will find a way to get them right to the YWCA. They can come directly. And we also have supportive volunteers that respond to each sexual assault victim that calls the Y. So we can have a support system available with them to report this to the police. So that's why I like it if they come there first, because we can give them the supports necessary. If they want to report it, they can. If they don't think at this time it's appropriate, then we provide individual supportive counseling to help them at that time.
Can you give us a sense of, numerically, how many individuals actually come to the Y to receive help for sexual assault?
In our sexual assault nurse examiner program, they had well over 100 individuals that had that exam last year. Our individual and support group counseling, we average about 300 victims a year. Now, statistically speaking, Kalamazoo County in 2014, there was approximately 179 rapes reported to the police in Kalamazoo County. And then, according to the Michigan State Police Uniform Crime Report, there were over 3,000 rapes reported in the state of Michigan to law enforcement in 2014.
You say 100 individuals last year sought the services of this nurse that you have in your facility. How does that number compare to previous years, let's say 2005 to 2000, 15. Is it going up? Is it going down?
Well, the number of victims seeking services is increasing every year. I think due to more and more education about what's available, getting information out about how to reduce the trauma that victims experience. And we're trying to remove the barriers for victims reporting it. And I think that's something we've been very successful in doing.
In terms of statistics, can you give us some numbers that give us an idea of how often people are sexually assaulted?
Well, every 107 seconds in the United States, somebody is raped. So we have over 3.5 million victims every year.
And could you break that down in terms of men and women, like one out of how many women, X number out of how many men tend
to
get?
College age 18 to 24, one out of every five women will be sexually assaulted. And for men, it was 33%, one out of every 33 men will be sexually assaulted during the age of 18 to 24.
I think right now would be a good time to talk about the definition of sexual assault. As I'm doing more reading, it feels to me that the definition is changing, at least certainly among sexual violence victim advocates. I don't know if the definition is different legally. For example, I was looking on a website from the National Sexual Violence Resource Center, and it says, what is sexual assault? It says sexual assault can be defined as any type of unwanted sexual contact, ranging from sexist attitudes and actions to rape and murder. Sexual assault can include words and actions of a sexual nature against a person's will. How would you define sexual assault?
When I'm talking in general, how I distinguish sexual assault from rape, because that's a big question I get quite often. And basically, sexual assault is any of the unwanted language, touching, fondling, and the rape is the actual sexual penetration.
Is that also the case in terms of legal definitions?
Yes, they just have a much more longer and uneasy to understand. So, yes.
Let's talk a little bit about, actually, let's talk a lot about consent. There seems like a great deal of attention now being paid to the issue of consent and making sure that people really understand that. Can you talk about consent?
We talk about consent as saying yes to any type of sexual activity. We do not believe a lack of no means yes. So it's actually the verbal yes. And one thing about Michigan law regarding consent is in Michigan, you can take back consent at any time.
And that's under the law?
Correct. So I think that's important to know. The other very important thing to know is in Michigan, if you are under the influence of drugs or alcohol, you cannot legally give consent for sexual activity. So I really make sure that I talk about that with the young students because that goes along our lines of prevention.
So someone could be prosecuted.
If there is not consent.
And maybe people need to understand that under those types of conditions, if someone is incapacitated in some way, they can be prosecuted.
That is correct. You cannot legally give consent.
Also, talk about consent within even in a marriage, a dating relationship. They could be sexual assault in those under those conditions as well. Do you want to talk about that?
Yeah, that is very
to empower
correct.
Women who may be married or in a or men for that matter who are in a steady relationship or not even in a steady relationship.
Michigan is very progressive in its sexual assault laws, and we do recognize marital rape in Michigan. We talk about that a lot in our support groups and what it means. But even in marital relationships, if you do not want any sexual activity, it is against the law for your partner to do that.
And is that also a prosecutable offense?
Yes, it is.
There's an initiative this year that you're doing, I think you all have done it in the past, that's helping to spread the word about consent. And it's called Consent is Power. Can you tell us about that?
During April, or starting April 1st through the 30th, we will be working with several bars in the Kalamazoo area, and they will be providing stamps that say Consent is Power. And our whole goal in that program is to educate the public about sexual assault, about what consent is, but also to give the power to individuals to understand consent and feel comfortable talking about it. We're really just trying to open up the communication as well.
At those particular establishments that people go to, what exactly is going to happen for that thing that's called Consent is Power? I think is there some kind of stamp of some sort that they're going to put on their hand?
Yes, correct. They stamp their hand at the bar.
Is it actually going to say Consent is Power?
Yes, it is.
Then also there's another partnership with Water Street Coffee Joint called A Cup of Prevention.
Well, we are very excited to announce that during the month of April, at all four Water Street locations, we'll be offering customers Sexual Assault Awareness Month stickers, as well as a teal ribbon, with the goal of promoting prevention and once again opening the conversations and just having people become aware of sexual assault in our community.
So a percentage of the sales are going to your sexual assault program at the Y.
That is correct.
Then also you have an annual event called Take Back the Night, and that's actually right here taking place at Western. What is Take Back the Night for those who aren't familiar with Take Back the Night?
It's going to be Thursday, April 14th.
Is it still going to be at Trimp Multicultural
Correct.
Center?
Yeah.
Six to seven. Okay, April 14th.
Yep. So from 6 to 7, they'll have a pre-event. And the whole goal is, once again, to remove the barriers to any victim seeking services. But also we're promoting healing and finding the support that is best for each victim. And then from 7 to 9, we'll actually have the Take Back event. There'll be several keynote speakers providing information, and then there'll be a march through campus proclaiming Taking Back the Night for victims. And then we'll end with a gathering with food and just once again opening the conversations.
Who should come to that particular event?
This is an event for the whole community. I think it's something that every member in the community should come to, men and women. Both men and women should come to this event. Because once again, it's an opportunity to promote strength. If we're going to do this work effectively, we need men involved in it. And this is a whole goal to get men involved to help us take back the night.
Let's close on this note, prevention. What would you offer in regards to that in terms of what can the individual do and what could we do collectively for prevention of sexual assault?
I think the biggest thing we can do is open up the lines of communication. I mean, Erlene, we're going into the elementary schools and talking about good touch, bad touch. We're continuing on in junior high and high school with healthy relationships. Then we're starting to talk about consent. So the more information that we can get out there about healthy sexual relationships and what is sexual assault and what is rape, I think that is our most important key in prevention. And then some of the other things that are helpful is talking about the bystander approach, letting people know that it is our obligation when we see something happening to say something about it. Getting men involved in activities. One of the ones is to walk a mile in her shoes, where they have men wear the shoes of women and walk a mile to understand what they're going through, but to also let other men know that they are against sexual assault as well.
Speaking of the bystander approach, some people may feel, especially in the case of, let's say, a sexual assault, that maybe they may feel that their lives may be at risk. Can you speak to that a little bit about when it might be appropriate to use that bystander approach?
I think whenever you do see something happening that you believe might be a sexual assault or rape, and even if you need to call for the police or support or anybody who can assist you in taking that bystander approach, I really encourage you to do that.
What information could you give us in terms of things that might put a person at risk for sexual assault?
We talk about safety planning for sexual assault with the general public and any victim or survivor that we come into contact with. And just for example, when I'm working with young teens or early college, you know, I talk to them about the buddy system, and when you're going out, make sure you go with a buddy and you do not leave any situation without your buddy. We talk about, for example, how to protect yourself against date rape drugs. And they have several things. For example, there's now college students that have invented a lipstick or fingernail polish that you can put in your drink to tell you if a date rape drug has been put in there. They have things out there, for example, called drink condoms, where you seal your drink if you have to go to the restroom to prevent, so you know that nobody has put anything into your drink. But I also talk about making sure that your drink is straight from the manufacturer, where you take the lid off yourself to prevent an unwanted date rape drug being put in your drink.
I've also read about some different types of apps, all kinds of different apps. You were talking about the buddy system. I was reading one about, I think it automatically would send a text to individuals that you specify if you haven't arrived at your location at a certain time. Do you know of other types of apps?
I believe you are 100% correct. We now have several things that are going to promote calling people for safety, calling the police. I think over the next several years, we'll see quite a few of those becoming available to make it more safe for individuals in our community.
Sounds like a lot of the tips that you're offering seem to make sense, not just for college students, but even for adults in terms of being safe.
That is 100% correct.
Any final thoughts?
I would just like to encourage the general community to visit the YWCA of Kalamazoo's website to see all the events that we have planned for Sexual Assault Awareness Month. I encourage everybody to wear a teal ribbon, which you can get for free at the YWCA of Kalamazoo. It promotes the strengths of survivors and holding perpetrators accountable. But Earlene, the thing I want to say most is the two most important things that you can say to any person telling you they believe they've been sexually assaulted is, "I believe you, and it's not your fault." Those are critical statements to make to any survivor.
Thank you, Ms. Brockway, for joining us here at WMUK.
Thank you for having me.
You've been listening to Sherry Brockway, Director of Training and Community Impact at the YWCA of Kalamazoo, as we talk about Sexual Assault Awareness Month. For a longer interview, visit WMUK.org. For West Southwest on WMUK, I'm Earlene McMichael.